Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judah, departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, or come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Well, look, if you have your Bibles tonight, you may not, turn to an Old Testament book of Isaiah and chapter 55. Now, it's always a real privilege, I will say that to you, to be able to come and to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We live in a world of bad news, and the news is always bad. There's always wars, and there's always disasters, hunger, and there's also plague. One of the bad news that we have at this time is to do with the cost of living. The fuel, the bread, the heating or eating kind of decisions that people have to make. But I've got some news here, and I want you to listen to that. When everything's going up in price, when inflation is eating into your wallet, I need you to listen to this news. Because God has for you bread, he has for you milk, he has for you wine, he has for you water, and the price has not gone up in thousands of years. In thousands of years. And you read it here, there it is, I'll just read it to you, in verse 55, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen to me carefully and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." I'll just end there. And that's what the message which we have just very simply tonight. I want you to listen to it carefully. It's not a message you're going to find in the world at all. Don't ever believe for one moment there's such a thing as a free meal. It's never free. Whatever comes through your door, whatever free thing you can get, you have to pay for it. You buy one, get five free, but you pay for it. And although someone may come home and say, "Chris, I've had a bargain," you've had to pay for it. You have to pay for everything in this world. And this message tonight is neither a message, you see, even that which is given by religion. Because religion will tell you perhaps of something you need to give and something that you need to do. No matter who you are tonight, there's a message for you, no matter where you've been, how vile you may have been, the mistakes you've made, the sin in your life, how far from God you are. Listen to these words. Everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters. And that you can come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. And when God gives this wonderful invitation tonight, he gives it, although it is without price, don't think for a moment it was not without cost. Because in this book of Isaiah, what I want to show you is very simple. There's a great chapter which tells us what Jesus Christ has done on Calvary. And in chapter 53, you find that there is the servant of the Lord. God had one which was to come into this world. He was to suffer in our place. He was to die upon a cross. Isaiah tells us all about that. And when he died, he rose again. And because of that, there is great news for everyone who thirsts this night and for everyone who has no money, that you can come and you can buy and that you can eat. Now, there is a message and I want to put it to you and listen carefully. It is for everyone. It excludes no one. But it does qualify it with two things. One who thirsts and one who has no money. And it has to be both in one's life. I know there will be those of you, perhaps even here tonight, which are thirsty. Thirsty for forgiveness. Thirsty for love. Thirsty for meaning. Thirsty for purpose. Thirsty for life, thirsty for God, thirsty for salvation. And I could say to you one moment, there is a message for you tonight, but hold on, it's not for you. Because although you may be thirsty in all these things, yet you still believe there's something that you can give and that you can do to earn and to fill and to come to the place that you know of God's blessing and the things of salvation and the love and the life that you definitely seek for. And I have to say to you, look, there may be those of you here tonight and you can say something like this. Well, look, I have nothing. I know I have nothing. I'm one of those which tells us, as Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But it's not for you, because you may not be the one who's hungering and seeking for righteousness. This is for everyone here and everyone who knows what it is to be thirsty and has nothing to give. That's what we got this evening. I want to just explain that to you first of all. It's for those, first of all, which are thirsty in life. Thirsty, as I said, for so many things to fill the human heart. But not everybody is thirsty, believe it or not. There may be those which want to fill life, and they do it with all kinds of possessions, with all kinds of work and education and drugs and drink and experiences and travel in all ways. And when you try and talk to them, their lives are actually filled in many aspects. I remember years ago a minister who was from Richmond, London. Now, if anybody knows Richmond, London, we're talking one of the, you know, top kind of areas in the country to live. It's a famous Baptist church called Duke Street Baptist Church. It has a whole string of very great, well-known ministers in that church. But one of the ministers, just a number of years ago who was there, decided to go out to the doors and to knock the doors to try and invite someone in to Duke Street Baptist Church. He said, to his shock, he said that when I knocked the door and told them that, would you like God in your life? He said it was like if I was asking, do you want a giraffe? Do you want a giraffe? Such was their absolute stunned. And actually, it is like that. It is like that on different places and estates. The contrast is different. There are people who are in need and they will listen to you. And there are those which will just say to you, I've got no time. Their lives are filled. But there are others. And there are others. And it doesn't matter what you've got or what you haven't got. You still know what it is that you feel in your life. That there is that which you're thirsty for. That which you're hungry for. And you still desperately need. And if those of you which follow the football here, and I know there are, the manager is leaving. Klopp is leaving, and Klopp then gives his testimony. And what Klopp does, he says, is this. He says that when I have these players, Premiership football stars, earning 200,000 a week, there with the crowd's adulation, Klopp knew this, he says. I know there'll come a time in the life of these men which have everything at their feet, and they will feel empty. And in our lives, that can happen to us. And we come to a place and not anything can fill that life. Do you know that tonight, no matter what people try, the relationships, the money, the sex, the education, the wealth, the fame, the very things that people look for, you come to a point, perhaps you've not come to it, or perhaps you have, and you realize, I've tried all these things, but my heart just is not filled. I'm going to read you something. It's by a man who was a famous writer, C.S. Lewis. And this is what he says about those very desires that people have. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is this, that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, then what? It does not prove that the universe is meaningless fraud. One of its meanings is that earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy us, but only arouse us by suggesting something more. That regeneration, reality, truth, holiness, they exist, and are attainable. That news then is if there was anyone here who knows what it is to thirst this night and thirst for water, water that will cleanse you and heal you and satisfy you. This is what the great prophet says. Anyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And we all have that in our experience where we feel in ourselves, if only I could know what it is, perhaps even to be right with God. And if I could know what it is to have my burden carried, and if I could know what it is in this world in which I live to be the person God wants me to be. And I'm thirsty for that. And when you come to an age, you think how bad I am and how not right I am. And could God do anything? I got news for you this night. There are waters, waters that will fill you and waters that will cleanse you. And in that reading that we had this evening, that was the great story that Jesus came. It was the sixth hour. They noted it down. There was something extraordinary. He came to the well and the woman was there from Samaria. And you know the story, don't you? There it was, the woman. And Jesus asks her the question, how's your husband? She says, I haven't got a husband. And he says, that's right. You've had more husbands than hot dinners. That's what you've had. And she may have had so. And the one you now got is not your husband. But Jesus knew her for all her sin, for all her failings, for all the emotional needs which were in her, for all the longings that she had on her own at that well. Jesus knew her, understood her. And he said to her, do you know that water that you're going to drink? I'll give you living water. Living water. And you can know that living water. And he said, well, where can you? I haven't got a bucket. And here it is, this well. Do you know something of this well? It's no ordinary well. It's the well of Jacob. It's the well of our fathers. It's the well of religion. It's the well of our far past. Religion won't give you the water that you want. The past won't give you, in tradition, the water that you want. But Jesus said this, there is that living water I will give you. It's wonderful tonight. Come to the waters. You say, where are those waters? I tell you where the waters are. The waters are with Jesus Christ. No, really. I will give you the water which will be to everlasting life. And Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, out of his very belly and his heart will flow rivers of living water. If you would only come to this water in Jesus Christ, and you know what happens, don't you? On that very cross of Calvary, when they pierced his side, they outflowed blood and water. Water that will cleanse you. And if you'd only come to the very cross of Calvary, to the gift of Jesus Christ, you could know what it is to have that everlasting life. And it's for everyone who thirsts, who's longing for that which you can never, ever experience. And you know, it tells us here, for you who have no money, you come and buy and you come and eat. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I need you to listen to the good news, how it works. There is this which you need, and you're to come and buy and eat. Have you ever had it? Most probably, in Narberth, most probably, you have this experience. I dare not shop in Narberth. You dare not shop in Narberth. But you know, you may have been to one of these fancy shops in London, the jewelries, or Chelsea Street, or whatever it may be. And you know, you're outside, and you women, you're looking at this dress, and you say, that is a fine piece of cloth. Or you're looking at some furniture, and you know, and you look at it through the window, and you know that that dress is made for someone else. It's not for you. That very piece of furniture It's made for someone else and it's not for you because you know that the price on it, you're not even going to enter. It's for someone else. And you stand outside and you look at it. And then you walk on. And you just walk on. But God says, look, there is water and there is wine and there is milk. And he says, as you look outside, it's for you. You say, I have no money. It's for you. Come in. Come and buy. Without price. Without money. And you never take that step. And it's for you. And you've got to know tonight the wonderful news that God comes and he says that there is this which you are to come. And all this is going to show us, as I'll show you now, of what God has for you, for everyone who thirsts and who has nothing. But my job tonight is not only to tell you that, it's also to come, and I'm just going to highlight what's highlighted here. And it's really interesting that what he highlights is that you're to come and buy water, come and buy wine, and come and buy milk. Three things. Three drinks that he wants you to have. And each drink speaks of something that you desperately need. And the first one, as I mentioned, is water because you can't live without it. You can't live without just plain water. And we do need it. And what happens is this, is that when he speaks of that, he is speaking to you that you can come and know what it is to have life. You need water every day. You need to drink your liters. You need to do that you can function. And he comes and he says, now look, you can come and have this. And it's free. It's not Prince's Gate. It's not Brecon. It's this. It's free. But then there's also this. Come and buy wine. Because what God's got for you today is not just water. But he's given you that also which you will enjoy. And that wine in the Bible speaks of gladness and joy and fulfillment. And when that is spoken, he is saying, you come to me and you come and purchase this for me. You come to God tonight and I assure you this, God will never decrease your joy. You come to him and buy from him, and religion, well, that can make you sad. But God's intention was this, that you come to Jesus Christ. He'll come and make you glad. He'll come and fill you. He will do that which is of you. And you will come to know that which is of a joy that you've not experienced before. Don't ever think for one moment that if you came to Jesus this evening, that your joys would be less. That's a lie. Lie of the devil. A lie of this world, and it's a lie which just pervades. It says, come to it. And you need also in your life, you need milk. You need milk. You need strength, and you need health, and you need that for well-being. And if you come to God, that life which deteriorates and is lost and which is killing you, you can find that which gives you the strength and the health and the well-being that God will put within you. And those who become Christians will tell you, he never made me worse. He came. He touched me. He healed me. He blessed me. And he did all that. I need to put that before you. But I need to emphasize something else. And it's emphasized here, and you must, this is the hardest bit, perhaps, to get. You who have no money, without money, without price. And what God wants to offer, and he mentions it three times, and this is what I'm trying to get you to, because it's the hardest place to get you, to the place where you realize that there is not anything that you have which can buy this water, this wine. It is something which is the freeness of God's love and of grace in which he gives it to you. Now, when you go and buy something, the person is always trying to make you pay more for it than what you ought. But when it comes to this, I'm trying to get you to come to the place where you realize, look, there is nothing or anything, and it's totally different to everything else in this world of religion. Look, the Jews had their laws and their ceremonies, and they believed that if they did something, then they could have perhaps everlasting life. There was a whole list upon them. Do you know that there are billions of Muslims in this world? And for them to even come and to have any hope of knowing Allah or whatever, there are the five pillars, the pilgrimages, the charitable work, the prayers they've got to do every single day. There are those which have even been brought up in the Christian church, so to speak. And when they've done some sin or something's gone wrong, they go to the priest and the priest tells them, well, what do I need to do? And the priest tells them, well, what you need to do for your forgiveness and for your well-being, you need the five Hail Marys, you need to take something of the sacrament, you need to come and do something in the things then of God. But listen now carefully. Listen carefully. That with God, you see, there is not anything at all that you can give unto him. And don't think there's anyone here tonight. Look, you're never going to know this unless you come to that place where it's not because I've been a good citizen, not because I'm quite a nice person, not because I have done my charitable deeds, not because I have gone to a place of worship, not because of my prayers, not because I looked after my mother when she was passing away, not because I am a nurse, not because that in a time of something that took place that there is anything that you've got that could possibly pay for this water, which is everlasting life. Not at all. Nothing at all. It's something that we find hard to grasp. Now, it was a number of years ago, we had one of our Christmas services. And people come in, and they enjoyed. And one came to me after and said, genius. I said, all right, okay. What was genius? It was genius, he said, genius. He said, I came, I knew all those carols, genius. And then he said, and not only that, you had no offering or collection, genius. And you want to put to people, there is actually a reason why perhaps we don't. Because of this, you cannot give enough. You cannot give for the gospel. You cannot give to receive that which God wants to give to you. That is something only God has come and only he can come and do. He comes and he tells us here in this very word. There is this wonderful message, but I need you to look very carefully because there's something else that he does tell us. It is just so simple. You have great needs. And there is not anything in ourselves by which we can fill that need. Here it is. I'm going to mention it to you. Come to the waters. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. there's something, when we say you have to do, don't think for one moment that you have to come and walk an aisle. But there is something that you do need to do. You need to come to Jesus Christ. But you have to come by faith. By faith. Without money. Do you remember I was telling you about that, that shop? And you got that which is outside and you know that you cannot buy it. But God stands there and he says, come in and buy, but you've got nothing. And you say, well, how do I come? I tell you how you come is like this. You come and you put your hands in your pockets and you put them as deep as you possibly could put them. And then you come having put your hands and you've gone down to your good works and you've gone down to your religion and you've gone down into your charity and you're trying and you're coming out and you come out empty, empty. And then you find you've got nothing. And he says, when you come, and you can only come and receive when there's nothing in your hands. Nothing in your hands. If there was something in your hands, you could not receive that gift of God in which he has given you. And you say, that's how you come. You come by faith. We sang that little hymn, didn't we? And the reason why we sang it, not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful Lord. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. And he says to you that you are to come. And there's a reason, perhaps, why you don't come. And there is a number of reasons for it. But I want to say to you, look, one of these reasons is simply this, is that it may be that you've not understood the enormity of your sin and the situation that you're in before God. When someone leaves the church, and over the years I've had many, and I mean now leave, they've come and they've listened to the gospel, and then they've gone back to some kind of church where they have religion. There's one thing I realize is this, they never understood the debt they were in. The enormity of it all. And if you only understood that, you'd understand why you need to come to Christ and come to him. And you know, it may be tonight that, look, there may be an ignorance within one's life, an ignorance that the reason why God says you come with no money, with nothing in your hands, is because of this. You could never pay for what Christ has done at Calvary. God gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish. God sent the one who was God, the Son, into this world, and he became a man and lived with all the suffering and grief and sorrow. And then the pain that he bore and the sin that he took, and he bore it on himself, and he did that for us, and he spilt his precious blood, the blood of Emmanuel. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And the reason you have to come with nothing, because whatever you give him in your life will be an insult to the gift he is offering you this night. That gift which is of God. It's because, you see, we don't recognize something, an ignorance of our need, an ignorance of who Jesus Christ. Can I just say one more thing? An absolute stupidity There's a reason why people don't come. This is what he pleads with them for, and I'll plead with you. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and for wages for what does not satisfy? Listen to me carefully. And there's another reason why people don't come, and it's simply this. It's hard to believe, and I hope that there's no one here tonight who's still in this position. This is not a young congregation. This is a congregation where you must have tasted and known the bitterness and the emptiness of life. I'm not dealing with teenagers. What on earth is it now that you're still on this wicket and still believing on this path that there is something that can satisfy you and fill your life? There's just not. Why would you then spend on bread and things which never, and people believe that the money they have, it never brings them the peace they look for. It certainly doesn't add to the happiness that they've got in life. It definitely doesn't fill the voids which were in them. This is something which cannot be fulfilled. Do you know, just tell you one story. Many years ago, well, that's not the way to say it. In the 20th century, there was a man who was perhaps the most handsome man of his generation. Errol Flynn. You've seen the films. That man had everything. I mean, that man was the, when you know, people went to the pictures to watch a film, and he was the star of it. And women would write letters to him, throw themselves before him. This man had houses, he had boats, he had fame, he had everything. He had money you couldn't even believe. At one time, he owed the taxman in America £1 million. And that's a lot of money when he was alive. $1 million. $1 million. And he had gone through it all. And he owed that taxman. He began to sell his houses. He began to sell his homes. And on a journey, he went up to Canada to sell his yacht and sell his boat. And he died. 50 years of age. 50 he was when he died. He had it all and had nothing. Why would you just live for the things of this world which will never satisfy your heart? And God says to us tonight, he says to us, look, if you're thirsty and you're in that seat now and you say, God, I've got nothing. I tell you, I'll put it this way. I've got one thing for you, God. The only thing I've got in this life, which I know you want at this moment, is my sin. My sin. I've got that. That's nothing. I will give it to you. That's what I want to do tonight. And I just want you to understand how this gospel works. You have to come to him freely. And you have to come by faith and believe, and he will give you and he will fulfill those things which will then satisfy one's life. I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to pray. And for those which perhaps are here tonight and they've never asked the Lord Jesus into their lives, we're just going to go through this tonight and we're going to just think of what we've said and what we've done. Heavenly Father, we believe your word tonight. We believe you're kind and that you love us and that you've been good to us. We believe that there's a gift that you've given us in Jesus Christ the Lord. We come to the water of life tonight and we ask you that you will quench our thirst. We're coming not because we're good, but because we're bad. We're not coming because we have anything to give, but you've told us if we come with nothing in our hands and simply, Lord, coming to you, clinging to that cross of Calvary, to that cross, that you would satisfy us. We ask you this evening that, Lord, you would please, as you've told us to come in and buy, we've come to do business with you, make our transaction with you. And we're thankful that in Jesus Christ you give us eternal life. Come into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Amen.